You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The BC government recently announced plans to build roofed accommodation in 12 of BC's provincial parks. Wildlife organizations and users of BC parks fear that development of this kind and the infrastructure needed to manage this will have a devastating impact on parks' ecology. Over many years, Western Canada Wilderness Committee has fought to maintain and restore BC wildlife habitats. Its policy director, Gwen Barley, joins me on the line. Hi, Gwen, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Hi, nice to be here.
Tell us first what exactly the government proposals will look like.
Well, they range all the way from, you know, large-sized cabins right up to hotels and resorts. And it's a real concern, not only because it was completely announced without public consultation, but with this type of development comes roads that you have helicopter traffic, float plane traffic, you have electricity needs, you have to someplace to put staff. And pretty soon, before you know it, that you start managing parks for an economic bottom line rather than an ecological bottom line. And by all means, have lodges or resorts appropriately located outside of parks, but don't put them within park boundaries.
When you say inside park boundaries, is there any indication how close to the boundary they will be, or how far within the park they'll be sited?
It varies according to the park. That some parks, such as Century in the Okanagan, which is a small park, is about 500 hectares. The resort would be not too far from the boundaries. And then you have other parks such as Cape Scott, which is a real wilderness park on the north tip of Vancouver Island, where you'd have, it would be cabin-to-cabin accommodation, and you'd have that interspersed throughout the park. So it's really a variety of impacts near the boundary of parks and much further away.
So these things are detailed already for several parks, and that's public information?
It is public information that Barry Penner, who's the Minister of Environment in British Columbia, announced the BC Park Lodge strategy on July 27th. And at that time, they'd identified 12 parks in BC that were going to be opened up to development. And again, just to flag this, it's not limited to 12 parks. This is just the first 12 parks that the government is looking at. And also, we're talking about resorts of up to 100 beds, and that's just 100 beds for guests, and it's not capped at 100 beds. You also have staff beds, and as I mentioned earlier, the road networks and the helicopters and the electricity needs that come with that also.
And what companies are involved in the building of these accommodations or the projects, I guess, projects?
The government has just put out requests for proposals, so the companies haven't been officially identified. And so we don't know. We don't know if the government's been marketing this initiative already and has pre-selected candidates, and that will sort of come out in the wash over the next couple of months.
And what's the timeline for this development?
The timeline's very, very tight. That the requests were, they were already having, as I mentioned, they put out the request for proposals, and those were posted on the government website on August the 12th, and then another six proposals were posted on August the 31st. And they're already having meetings with potential developers in parks this week. And when you have Barry Penner that said, no concerns, the public will be consulted before this initiative proceeds, that's proven not to be the case. That the government has, they have a blueprint for development within parks and come hell or high water. And regardless of what the public thinks, it looks like they're trying to shove this through.
Now you mentioned the motives a bit of the BC government, the Liberal government pushing ahead with this development. Would you like to elaborate on that a little for us?
Well, it's interesting because what's happened to our parks over the last 5 years, you saw in 2001 a 30% cut to the park budget. You saw a 30% cut to staff. Parking meters were put into place in 2003 and in 2004, again with public consultation, that we just have one ranger, park ranger, for about every eight parks in BC. And so you just see a park system that is under assault and has been starved for funding. And you have a government that does not recognize the ecological value of parks, the ecosystem services that are provided by a protected area network, or the economic value of parks. But according to the government's own report, it shows that for every dollar that government invests in our protected area system, that they get $10 back in visitor expenditures. So it's just sort of this notion that, I guess, not assigning value to protected areas unless you can squeeze a buck out of them, that they somehow don't have worth.
And when they've, for example, introduced over the past three years the parking lot fees and so on, what result? You say that's reducing the revenue rather than...
Well, what happened? It was supposed to... The government put in parking meters into 41 popular provincial parks in 2003 and 2004, again with no public consultation. And the meters proved to be incredibly unpopular. And so the government projected revenues of between $4 to $6 million. And what happened was visits, just in the parks that had meters in the Lower Mainland alone, the first year the meters were introduced, visits went down by 1 million. They missed their revenue targets by over 95%. And that probably wasn't even full cost accounting. So when you look at missing your revenue targets by over 95%, driving down visits by hundreds of thousands of people, we're of the opinion that clearly the meters haven't met their targets, and that they should be pulled out of parks. They're scaring people away, and they aren't serving the purpose they were designed to.
And the strategy of this new initiative for more development inside the parks, is that clearly high-end people that they want to attract and turn the parks over to?
The wilderness, that's an interesting question that you bring up, because the Wilderness Committee did a Freedom of Information request on this initiative, and it showed in the government's own documents that they are targeting well-heeled tourists. And in some of the requests for proposals, you know, it's targeted towards upper-income people, that European tourists. This is not an initiative that is targeted towards British Columbians or getting BCers back in our parks.
So it's the same as the elite salmon fishing lodges for the Hollywood set.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll definitely see some of that. I mean, when you're talking about, when you look at some of the resorts or some of the lodges that are, at the parameter of parks, and you have a couple that have been grandfathered in, you're looking at anything from $200 up to $800 a night, you know, for a cabin that can house a couple of, you know, several people. And it's just, why did we protect parks in the first place? We have 87% of the province that's available for development, and we have just 13% that's set aside for protection from development. And this just has this initiative to put lodges and resorts and hotels and parks has the ability to fundamentally change our protected area system.
And how different would this be? Let me ask. So you've got a commercial building, let's say, on the border of a park, as opposed to inside the border, or even in a place like Manning Park. Now we have a lodge in the center of Manning Park, so to speak, through the on the highway, but still in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
How is this different?
Well, how this is different, of course, is when you have lodges or resorts outside of parks, that they aren't impacting ecologically what's happening in the park, and so it's not undermining the very reason why parks were created, which was to protect them from development and to protect important wilderness and wildlife values. And in Manning Park, you're right, it's sort of an unusual situation. It's one of the few parks in British Columbia that has a lodge in it. And it is on a high, located very, very close to the highway. And at one time, it was a pit stop when you didn't have much development between the Okanagan and Vancouver. So there's also some historical roots to it. But the government, this is such a deviation from what's already occurring in BC parks, or you know, the few lodges that we have, that the government in 2003 changed the Parks Act, and the change allowed for the development of resorts. And it also said, if in the minister's opinion that a development is consistent with the recreational values of the park, then it can go ahead. And you can really, drive a truck through that. That's an incredibly discretionary provision. And just the use of the word resort made it very clear what the government is thinking. And evidently, this has come down from the premier's office, and it's tied in very closely to 2010. And it's just not taking into account what British Columbians think and how they feel about our parks. 10 years ago, they were asked, there was a park legacy panel that went around and talked to thousands and thousands of British Columbians about privatization and about development within parks. And thousands of people responded, and they said, we don't want to see development, commercial development within our parks. But let's protect parks for what they are meant to do, which is protecting wilderness values and appropriate recreation.
In addition to your organization, Western Canada yes. Wilderness Committee, are others expressing concern about this plan?
It just runs the gamut. Aside from the public, which is really concerned, that you have other groups that are working together. It's all called the Campaign for BC Parks, and includes the World Wildlife Fund, Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, the David Suzuki Foundation, Sierra Club of Canada, Valhalla Wilderness Society, West Coast Environmental Law, and the list goes on and on and on. And then not in this coalition, but also in opposition to this initiative to put hotels in parks is the BC Wildlife Federation, which also represents another 30,000 people within the province. And so you just, it's right across the board. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody, except for the government, that's going to come out in favor of this initiative.
And when you say the public is opposed, what sort of measures are you using to come to that conclusion?
Well, aside from the fact that our phone has just been ringing off the hook, from not only from Wilderness Committee members, we have 30,000 members and another 40,000 supporters. But if you look at the, you know, look at the letters to the newspapers, and if you look at, and if you listen to the phone-in shows, and if you just, I mean, people are really, really, really concerned about the implications that this has to erode our protected area system. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that these were public, these are public parks, and yet there was absolutely no public consultation.
What about political organizations, Aboriginal organizations?
I'm not sure. I know there are definitely some concerns with First Nations. I haven't heard anything publicly so far, and the provincial NDP, which is the opposition, has come out in opposition to this initiative.
You said the government is proceeding ahead despite its promises and pretenses at public
yeah.
hearings.
Yeah.
What opportunity will the public have, or what do you think would be forms that could be created for focusing and concentrating public response to these proposals?
Well, I think what people need to do, and I think it is a really good question that you asked, I mean, what are the forms for public consultation? I phoned up somebody that was within government and asked that very question. I said, where is the opportunity for meaningful public consultation? And the person said to me, that opportunity is happening right now with what the Western Canada Wilderness Committee is doing in the newspapers and in the media. And I said, that is not in lieu, or that should not be in lieu of proper public consultation. And the other thing is about the public consultation, the government's promised it, is it, will it be meaningful? Will it, if the public is opposed to this initiative, will it have the ability to stop resorts or lodges or hotels from coming into parks? And I asked that question to someone high up in government, and I was told that no, that it would, they'd be looking at mitigating strategies, and essentially what that boils down to is how wide the roads would be and what color the awnings are. But also, I really do want to emphasize that this isn't a done deal. That the government right now, that they put out this sort of trial balloon, and they're gauging the public's reaction. And so I strongly encourage people to contact your local MLA, or contact, or write a letter or an email to Barry Penner, who's the Minister of the Environment, or Gordon Campbell, who's the Premier of BC, and let them know how you feel about this initiative and the fact that the public wasn't consulted.
And you have your own website?
We do.
www.wildernesscommittee.org.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you can definitely go there, and you can see some background information on the proposal to put lodges into parks, and also you can take action to ask the government to stop this initiative.
Well, many thanks, Gwen, for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Gwen Barley. She's the Policy Director of Western Canada Wilderness Committee.